Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Yo, no, you never know what the world is going to show you. It ain't up to you. You always think it's going to happen to another person, and it's never, ever going to happen to you. You got your friends, you got your money, got your family, got your honey. You think you got a million days. But then life comes along and it knocks you right down to the ground. And that's why I say that everybody ought to hug somebody at least once a day.
You know, I thought it was kind of a heavy week, so we're going to go with happy music today, and that means my friend Michael Fronte is your artist of the day. By the way, get your tickets. They're going to be at Grinders on October 21st. That is a week from Monday. Michael Fronte and Spearhead.
I'm in. I already have it on my calendar.
I think the whole show's going.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Rebecca, would you like to go?
When is that again?
October 21st.
October 21st.
Week from Monday.
It's possible. It is possible.
I would love for you to go.
I would love to go.
I love that you're here today.
I love that I'm here today. And Dana, you look adorable today.
You're very sweet. It's Red Friday. I'm excited. I wore some red.
And you are rocking it.
Thank you.
What's wrong with Scott?
He's not used to having any fewer than 36 men on this show.
He doesn't
know what to do with himself.
I fell asleep.
Now that there's one ounce more of estrogen in the room.
Don't worry, Scott. I'm here for you today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's good to have you, Rebecca.
Well, we wouldn't have to worry about estrogen if you didn't run Kara Marxer off.
Like water in the desert, you are. Like a drop of water in the desert.
And stay down.
Easily evaporated.
Wow.
Oh, wait. Before we get started. Couple of programming notes. 4 o'clock this afternoon, Johnson County DA Steve Howe is going to join us in studio.
Very excited he'll be here.
What are we going to talk to him about?
Anything you want. He's the DA.
Okay.
They have a big week coming up. There are two Kansas cases in front of the Supreme Court as we speak.
And like the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yeah, the big one.
Oh.
The big one. Like all nine of them.
Okay.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Any of the local cases of interest and... You know, we've beat up on him a couple times on the program over certain cases and certain decisions, and I love him. I cannot wait to have him in here, and I think it'll be a really interesting hour.
Okay, then we have Festivus Friday coming up at 5 o'clock. That is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. From the Stop the Planet I'm Getting Off story, this story out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. When a woman in Pittsburgh posted a homework assignment for first graders... that involved two people running from the police, it was shared more than 1,000 times. The assignment involved two people named Tom and Rob running from a cop. Here's part of the reading assignment. Tom will run. He will run from the cop. Tom will run with Rob. They will not stop.
What did Tom and Rob do?
Something not good.
They ran from cop.
That's what they did.
Tom will run. He will run from the cop. Tom will run with Rob. They will not stop. In a statement, the Pittsburgh Public Schools called the assignment inappropriate.
The students then learned the term fleeing and eluding.
They said it was given to first grade students at an elementary school in the district. The worksheet, quote, is not part of our district curriculum. Or any of our intervention programs.
Don't you remember when my youngest son was in first grade, and I still have a picture of the assignment. I don't know that I still have the assignment, but it was in the back office for a long time. You know, they'll give the kids in kindergarten, first grade, a picture of something. And Rebecca, you know this. And then there are three blanks below the picture. And the little boys and girls have to fill in the letters for what the picture represents. And I'm going through his backpack looking at all these assignments. And one in particular that I think has just been reprinted and reprinted since about 1970 had a picture of a gun on it. I mean, it was a gun, and there were three little spaces under the gun, and he had filled in G-U-N. Next to that, there was another photo of a very nice pair of women's legs with, you know, hosiery on.
Okay.
Crossed legs. And he had filled in L-E-G-S. And I brought that assignment in. I mean, this has to have been 7 years ago. And I remember showing it to Scott. And I go, what the hell are they giving the kids today? And I have a feeling it's one of those old, old assignments. Remember, teachers used to have that crank printer, Scott?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they would, you know, way back when we were in grade school, reprint these assignments for the kids to fill in the letters. And I think that this was one that had just slipped through the cracks that had been passed on from year to year to year to year. Because I don't know that that's necessarily appropriate for a kindergartner or a first grader. But there it was. And I laughed about it. I didn't, like,
To be able to identify legs is inappropriate?
Next to the gun. And there was something else on there that I thought was a little odd.
The kids probably overlooked it.
Yeah, they didn't care. And I certainly didn't care. I just thought maybe it's time to update your assignment worksheet. And this probably falls under that category.
Hmm.
And the category of the kids overlooking it?
And Rob, run.
No,
they run
no.
from the cop.
No, if we're going to do it, let's do
First
it.
First of all, even using the word cop is not, to me, an appropriate term for a child to be using.
Tom will run. He will run from the cop. Tom will run with Rob. They will not stop.
Maybe they were playing tag.
I don't think so. Very determined, though.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I mean, we see these stories every once in a while, and I always think to myself, in what world did the teacher go, man, it's a damn good assignment. I mean, there are other ones that I could present, but...
You could even change it to Tom and Rob run from Bob, but that would beg the question, why are they running from Bob?
Bob is smelly.
I don't know.
Bob's a bully.
There you go.
Bob has herpes. I don't know.
It doesn't bother me. I think it's funny, but I understand why it was shared. Did you see the Missouri story that was shared from a St. Louis area mom? And
no.
We're going to post this on our Facebook page because you need to see the photo to really have a good idea of what it is we're talking about here. She posted a photo this week of her son. There are two photos. There is a man on the left who is a large, strapping, football-playing Marine physique. So tall and broad.
Okay.
And then she posted a photo on the right of an unrecognizable, emaciated human being. It is her son. The photos were taken 7 months apart.
Yes, it's right here on the top.
7 months
stack.
Apart. And I will tell you, this is one of the bravest open posts mm-hmm. I have ever seen on Facebook, because when it comes to addiction, people don't like to talk about it, Scott. She put these photos out there side by side and said, people ask me, how is your son? How's he doing? And I'm tired of running. I'm going to show you how he's doing. How is he? I don't know, she writes. She does not know where he is. And the photo is
shocking. She says, this is the face of heroin and meth. It is reality for so many people and families in this world today. This may be long, so I apologize. For my family and friends who know me, know that my oldest son, Cody, I'm not going to say his last name, Cody, is suffering from addiction. I am hesitant on sharing, but many people ask how things are going, so I feel I should share.
Yep.
I have learned along this path that so many people and families deal with the same heartache, but just do not talk about it. This is a true issue. And in one picture, I know we got to get to break. In one picture, he is standing in a room somewhere. It looks like almost like a hospital.
He's a big guy.
He's a healthy looking guy.
Yeah. Like not somebody, big. Not big like.
Not fat.
Not fat. Just a towering just, hunk of a guy.
Yeah. In the picture on the right, he's got his hat on sideways. He's wearing some sort of a tank top. And he looks like a shadow of his former self. His face looks misaligned.
If you knew him, you might, in those hollow eyes, might recognize who he is. But just side by side in the photos, they look like two completely separate human beings.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand.
So we got this story here.
I knew she was gonna meet her connection.
And the story reads as follows. A Missouri mom's heartbreaking Facebook post showing how fast her son has changed because of his drug addiction has gone viral. The first shows her son looking healthy, but the second image is a stark contrast. I don't want to use his last name. So
well, she his first name is Cody. She has, because the last thing she says in this post is, if you are out there, please come home.
All right, fine. I'll use his name. Cody Bishop is almost unrecognizable. His face more gaunt, his body looking much thinner. Says, Mom, these pictures were taken 7 months apart. It is the face of heroin and meth. Is reality for so many people and the families in this world today. Salfin Tracy, that's her hyphenated last name, is from Wentzville, Missouri, said she decided to share her story because many people were asking how things were going with her son. And as you mentioned, Dana, she doesn't know where he is. Bishop was an athlete who graduated from Wentzville Holt High School in 2011. According to his Facebook page, he started a job at All-Inclusive Concrete Systems in March. But Salfin Tracy revealed that he is now homeless somewhere in Las Vegas, and she has not heard from him in weeks. She added that Bishop is a father himself, and it's difficult to understand how someone who has children who love and need them live the life they do. I have turned it over to God, she writes, and pray that he decides he is tired of living like this and wants to come home and get help. Through social media, I have come along so many people that have crossed his path over time through his past. And she finished it, by the way, by writing, Cody, if you see this, please call us. We love you.
I'm going to look and see how many times just as of today.
40,000 as of yesterday.
It was 40,000 as of yesterday. But I think the reason it resonates is it is a visual. For any of us who have not been touched by that epidemic, knock on wood, thank God it has not touched our family. It is such a shocking visual. And we've seen this before with the parents who are passed out in the front seat and the child in the back. I mean, every once in a while, a photo comes along that puts a visual to this crisis, and this is just one of them. And I know there are people listening, and you've seen this up close, where a person looked one way and then a few months later is physically ravaged by the addiction that they just can't shake.
How did she get the picture of him now?
Something in that post alludes to people he's met along his journey, and I think he had tried recovery. And so I don't know if somebody
A reference to rehab.
There's a reference to rehab. And so I don't know if that would have been from then, or I'm not sure. She thinks he's in Vegas. I mean, God, what does that mean? Who knows? Who knows where he is?
I hope he's not dead, but I can't help but think he probably is. I mean, look at that turnaround in 7 months. It's shocking.
Yeah. And the exhaustion.
And by turnaround, I mean turn down.
Yeah. The exhaustion. And I cannot even imagine, and I don't pretend to imagine, but the exhaustion of a mother or father waiting for that phone to ring. Mm-hmm. And she says, I've had to just give it over to God, because I wonder at some point that exhaustion would physically start to kill you, waiting for the call mm-hmm. when you don't know where they are. Mm-hmm. And so God bless that woman. I'm glad she shared it. It's hard to look at, but that's what this looks like. That is what this looks like.
Yeah. Some people want to know, where's Will today? Well, Will is on his way to Omaha with Julie. They're going to see Phil Collins tonight in Omaha. That would be a hell of a good show. If you want to weigh in on this, though, we'd love to hear you. 576-7798. And we'll get the story posted on the KMBZ Facebook page here in a minute if it isn't already. It is a dramatic photograph and then another photograph that shows what drug addiction, apparently she is convinced he's on heroin and meth, what 7 months on heroin and meth can do to a body. It is shocking the way that this young man turned around. And by turnaround, I mean turned down. He went from a healthy, vibrant, handsome young man to someone who almost looks like a skeleton. Like that. 7 months. I'm sure a lot of you have dealt with this in your life. Our telephone number here is 576-7798. Somebody writes in, they don't want us to state the last four of their phone numbers, so we will not. We'll certainly honor that request. I've lived with this. My son did not know. Check that. I've lived this with my son. Didn't know where he was for 3 years. He surfaced and then died of an overdose. It is unbearable. Another writes in, my son. By the way, this hour, we're not going to read any of the last fours. So text away. We're not going to give out any phone numbers. Somebody else writes in, my son was a 230-pound scholarship linebacker. From January to the following summer, he went to being homeless and 170 pounds. He looked like a bag of bones. Let's go to Jamie in Kansas City. Jamie, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a brother of an addict. And it's all consuming. I had to temporarily adopt this kid, and you know, he was 15 years old when I adopted him, and they were such out of touch with their own children that when I adopted him, he didn't even know what the 12 months of the year were. He didn't know how to tie his own shoes. I had to teach this kid everything because his dad, my brother, was such an addict. You know, they just left him in a room with a computer while they lived their life as an addict, you know. And it's good, you know, he's 2 years clean now, but I used to get text messages from my friends with his mugshot, and he's 35 years old. I'm 45 years old, and he probably looks 60.
Oh, my.
Wow.
And yeah, they're like, is this your younger brother? And I go, yeah, that's my younger brother. And he looked so rough. He looked so rough that he honestly, I'm not exaggerating. He looked in his late 50s, 60s, and that's how rough it is. And it's just all consuming. They don't worry about anything else but where their next fix is coming from. He stole things from my family, heirlooms from my dad that was supposed to be handed down to us just to get us fixed. It was a nightmare.
Do you, Jamie, have a relationship with him now?
I do, and I've always had a relationship with him. I take that back. I had to cut myself off from him. I work public health care, so I seen it, and I knew what the end was going to be. So initially, I didn't want to be part of the end because I knew it was going to happen. So I kind of cut myself off from him, but then I was like, you know, he needs somebody. He needs that support. It took two stints in prison, and when he got out, we got him into a family member's house, and he's been clean ever since. He's holding two jobs down. He's a manager, you know, at some pizza place. I don't care if it's a manager at a toilet bowl cleaning place.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's a job. you know, and he's never had anything to live for.
And is his son doing okay, Jamie?
Yeah, actually, I gave him back. Not gave him back like he's a object, but, you know, they took him back clean enough to, you know, take care of him. And you know what the crazy thing is that no matter how bad your parents are as kids and children, you still love them. You always see the good in them.
Oh, yeah.
And he was so detached from his own kid, but his kid wasn't. His dad was the hero. At the lowest point in my brother's life, that kid still believed that his dad was the hero. And I'm like, you know, what do you say to that? You can't tell him he's not a hero. He's a drug addict.
Yeah.
You got to keep reinforcing him and keep it, have positive thoughts and actions and you know, and tell him that it's going to be okay at some point.
Well, but I would argue now your nephew could argue that his dad is a hero.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he's completely changed his life around. And another crazy thing is my kids, that was their favorite uncle. It didn't matter. And they're still his favorite uncle because he was a good uncle. He was just a drug addict, you know?
How did he, and very quickly, because we got some other callers, by the way, 576-7798. How did your brother get into this?
He lost two children in a house fire 15 years ago.
Oh.
And it just spiraled out of control. He's still never been to the cemetery. He just can't bring himself to go. So I'm not saying it's a good excuse, but that was his excuse.
It's an excuse. Yeah. Let's go to John in DeSoto, 576-7798. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi.
I just thought I would share my story in hopes that it may help others.
Okay.
I had a son who was a great fella, played baseball, went to the Army, did a tour in Iraq, came back. They wanted to keep him back because of his mental condition. So he came and stayed with me, and he was different. And I'm just so naive, I didn't know. And one day he come laid up in my bed with me. He's 26 years old. And he had his head on my shoulder, and he said, "Dad, why don't I love my daughter the way you love me?" And I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. And then one day he was in the living room. I was cooking dinner. I was single. And I said, "Son, your lips are blue." He said, "Yeah, I'm cold." I said, "Well, let's go take a warm shower when you come out. You know, you'll be warmed up." I turned the heat up in the house, thought everything was normal, didn't get it. He was kind of floundering because in between your disability money, you don't get money from the Army to live on. And unfortunately, he wound up going to live in with his sister. I had to go away for a little bit, and he wound up overdosing on OxyContin, Adderall, and Ambien was his mixture, overdosed and died. And his sister and I were just talking about it today, how much we miss him, and it's been since 2013. And, you know, it's horrible how they leave everybody behind devastated. I just wish one soldier would hear this and go, "Wow, I left my daughter, my dad, my mom, my sisters, my grandparents, and my friends that were just totally wrapped up in the drugs, that he didn't love anything more than he loved the drugs."
John, I don't think that's so true. Sorry to hear that story. And I think it's important that you shared it, and it's brave that you shared it, and we thank you for it. But we are horribly sorry that you have been through that. And I know so many others listening know that pain.
But, John, if I could say one thing to you, and I hope you're still listening, your son didn't love the drugs more than he loved his family. He didn't.
He just didn't know how to let it go.
Uh-huh. Jeff in Kansas City. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi there.
Oh, my gosh. His story breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a alcohol user. She was sober for 20 years before she overcame to pills. With this whole opioid thing that's going on, she succumbed to that. She actually took her life about 5 years ago.
I'm sorry, man.
And I'm still suffering from her and my dad's alcoholism. There's been a lot of pills, a lot of alcohol use, a lot of everything. But yes, his story literally sounds to what I was going to say. So, I don't feel like I have to repeat it.
What, that your mother loved the drugs more than she loved you or loved the family? Is that what you're saying?
Basically, it came down to that. She eventually came back to alcohol and eventually shunned me and my brother out. Yes.
Jeff, you hang in there, all right, buddy?
I am. Thank you.
This is one of those topics, Scott, and I don't have the text line pulled up because I just don't have the appetite for it today. But
I do.
You either so deeply and painfully understand what this is like, or you do not. And there's very little gray area. And there are people like me who I've never been personally touched by it, but I have years of sorrow and empathy for people calling in with the story. But every time we talk about this, there are very ignorant people who do not understand what these substances do to your brain chemistry who will say, well, that's just because you didn't raise your kids right, or you didn't have Jesus in the home, or you should have just pulled them back and told them to stop using, or they shouldn't have taken it in the first place, despite the fact that a lot of people who end up addicted to these substances are addicted after they are legally prescribed by a physician.
Sure.
And I really do think, and we've had people call before who said, I was in that camp. I used to say this is a personal failing. You know, this is something you just shouldn't do. And then it happened to my daughter, mm-hmm. or then it happened to my husband. And this is one of those very tough nuts to crack, where if you have not been touched by this, it is nearly impossible for you to understand how it happens and what it does to families. And then I always say, you should thank God you don't understand it.
That's right.
You should have empathy.
That's right.
If you don't, but you should thank God every day that you do not understand the pain that Jeff sent or the caller previous. This is not about being stronger or just stopping, or it just isn't. We have heard these stories over and over again.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. Your keyword this hour is prize, P-R-I-Z-E. Text that into 72881. Contestant Rosendo Alvarez shattered the audience attendance record for The Price is Right on Thursday. The Los Angeles man made it to the stage on his 180th visit.
Oh, God bless him.
That's a lot of tries.
Alvarez first attended the show way back in 1994.
Wait a minute. 180th visit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's about 4 hours in line.
He won a new car and more than $35,000 in cash and prizes.
If he stayed, he spent 1,800 hours trying to get into that show, onto the stage.
Mm-hmm.
He won a car and what?
$35,000 in prizes and cash.
Oh, well, good for him.
No, not good for him. Because you won a car on that show. You never drove it. It is a sham.
It's not a sham if you win cash.
The show is a sham.
No, it's not a sham if you win cash. But like I was watching, it was on in the kitchen the other day, and it was some kid, and it was three trips, you know, where they do, you can go to Germany, Switzerland, and France. And I thought to myself, please don't win this. You have no idea what's coming if you win this, because you can't transfer it.
Right.
You have to take every single trip in one calendar year. Every single trip.
They're overvalued.
They're way overvalued, which means they're overtaxed.
You have to pay more taxes.
And you have to go.
Right.
And so the worst thing to win is the trip, by far.
Which is why a lot of these companies will give away, and I use giveaway in air quotes, give away these gifts to the contestants on shows like The Price is Right.
Yeah.
Because once you go backstage after you've won and you realize you have to write a check right now for $8,000 that you don't have.
We're going to need your money.
Basically, they're getting a free commercial on The Price is Right. Well, they pay for the commercial, but they don't have to actually give away the prize because you don't have $8,000 in your checking account
if you
didn't bring a check.
If I had to guess, 2 out of every 5 contestants actually keep all of the stuff. About two out of five, if I had to guess.
Dana, you are, I'm not going to say you're well off, but you have means that most people on those shows don't have.
Correct.
You kept one gift when you won it all on The Price is Right.
Correct.
And that was the trip to Napa Valley.
Yeah. Which cost us, we ended up paying $17,000 in taxes that year.
Oh my gosh.
On all of that stuff.
But you had a car? You won a car?
Which we sold for half its value.
You never saw the car.
Well, and here's where they get you with the car. You cannot turn around and resell a car that you do not have title to or own. So in order to sell the car,
you had to pay the taxes on it.
You have to tag it, title it, and pay taxes on it back here in Kansas City. The minute you do that,
it drops in value.
It drops in value because it's no longer considered new, even though when they shipped it here, it had 0 miles on it. We never touched it. We never drove it. It had 0 miles on it. It cost probably $3,000 to tag, title, and tax it to then turn around and sell it. I think we got $11,000 for it.
For a car that would retail at 25 to 30.
For a car that would retail around 17, but I think they valued it at 23. It's a very tricky tax situation.
You completely gave up the trip to Puerto Rico.
We declined it. Correct. The taxes on the trip to Puerto Rico were worth more than the trip to Puerto Rico.
So even if you get the price right, the price is wrong?
You want to win cash.
I see what you did there, Happy Gilmore.
You want to win cash. The trips will bury you, unless it's just a once-in-a-lifetime trip that you choose to take and pay the taxes on.
Which they're going to value at $10,000, which would really cost you $5,000.
Yeah, the Puerto Rico trip, I think they valued it like $7,000. And
give
we looked
me
it up.
A break.
Oh, no. Scott, we looked it up. If we flew first class and stayed in the nicest hotel in Puerto Rico, we could have gotten that done for like $3,000. It was right after the economy tanked over there. But I still would do it again.
$35,866, difference of $6,588. Guess what?
And Peter Pan.
The other worst thing I will just tell you that you can win, that you do not want to win, the refrigerator, the catamaran. You don't want to win any of that stuff because you're going to be taxed out the wazoo on it. You've got to ship it here. You can't resell it. You want to win cash. But I'm happy for the guy who got on after 180 tries.
Actual retail price, $29,598. There was a $4,876. Kelly, they bid $29,278. Actual retail price.
Forget about her. Let's go on to Dana winning again.
$35,866. Difference of $6,588. Guess what?
And I just urinated in my pants.
But sweet Rosendo Alvarez, he tried 180 times. You know he wanted to get up there.
Which means in line,
that he did.
Which means that in line, when they do the pre-show interviews, he had no personality.
It took him 180 times to figure that out. He should have just called me. I would have told him what to say.
You only went once.
Once.
You had the
alone.
I know.
I went alone.
But you had that personality that made them want to call you up. It's not random, folks.
Oh, she has that you personality.
Just act like you're crazy.
That's true.
That's what I did.
What do you mean act?
My buddy Doug Stewart got on The Price is Right. He's one of the most calm, serene guys I've ever met. He said, all I did was stand in line and act like a lunatic, and they let me up there. It's that simple.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.